Brother Dwayne has asked that we read from Psalm 103, verses 1 to 18. I'm sorry. This being Father's Day, I want to encourage you fathers to continue to be faithful. It's easy to grow weary with the job of a father, but just continue to be faithful. You are making a difference. I encourage you to watch your attitudes in everyday life, because your attitudes will become your children's attitudes. I encourage you to refrain from anger. I encourage you to be willing to say, I'm sorry. That is the most powerful message, one of the most powerful messages a father can say, I'm sorry, to his children and his wife. I would encourage you to be faithful in family devotions, and I encourage you to love your wife. As your children see you loving your wife, that is one of the most important parenting things you can do, as they see you love her sacrificially. Psalms 103, verses 1 to 18. And I think we're going to read the first four verses together. So together, we're just going to read the first four verses of 103, and then I will continue through verse 18. The first four verses together. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is in me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Thank you. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. We can just say praise the Lord for that, can't we? Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. At this time, let's all that are able kneel for prayer.
Very thankful for Brother Ray's prayer, as well as you praying for the speaker this morning. We desire that and appreciate it. It's a lot that could be said this morning. Certainly, want to honor my father as well. It's, you know, he's passed, I think, about 15 years now soon. I was blessed to have him with 40 plus years of my life. But the honoring and respecting him doesn't go away. Our fathers, once they go away, that continues. And so I want to do that. He had, as Larry said about his dad, my dad wasn't perfect, but he lived a life that I wanted to pattern my life after in a lot of ways. And so I'm appreciative to him and all he did. And you know, he wasn't just my dad. I've said this to people before, but as we grow older, he became also my best friend. And that was very true. And so I miss him. But as we know, life goes on, and we grow older, and I'm older. And here we are facing 3 weeks from today, we plan to travel to Minnesota. Luke and Jerusha and Haven, their youngest child, they plan to take her with them. And Carol and I, Luke and Jerusha and Haven will likely be there a week. Carol and I were told to prepare to be there 3 to 4 weeks. So you may wonder why Mayo Clinic. That's the story behind that. There's reasons behind that. I'm not going to go into that detail. I will not up here. I will say that I'll tell you this much this week. My kidney specialist that saw us, I see her occasionally. She comes into the dialysis center. And I've had her from the one start since 2017. She said to me, and it was kind of nice to hear because sometimes you wonder, are we doing the right thing? But she said, and it was based upon her knowledge of my situation, she said, I wouldn't want anybody else doing your transplant but them. And so that was nice to hear. And we thank God for doctors. He gives them the knowledge and the ability. We thank God for good doctors, good places to go to get help. But we know ultimately he's the healer. He's the great physician. He's the one over it all. And so his hand is what we desire to be upon the doctors, the nurses. I'm thankful for wonderful nurses. The job they do is incredible to me. And so thankful for all that. So that's a little bit about that this morning. With that in mind, let me be clear this morning that I'm thankful for all of my children and that they all would be willing to give me a kidney. So far, one has. There's a plan for another to do that. Some of them can't give directly because they're not a direct match, but I know that they would give. And I can't put into words how much that means. I love my children no matter what. I try to pattern it after our Heavenly Father as an unconditional love. Because that's how he loves you as a believer, as his child and me. And I don't know if I can love them any more than I do already, but the reality of what they do for me certainly stirs that love. But still, it's not easy for me to take a kidney from one of my children. It's very difficult. So there's So though it's good what is about to happen in about 3 weeks, and we would desire your prayers that the Lord would keep us healthy, Luke and myself, that everything can go as planned if that's his will. But though that's good and what's about to take place, and I'm excited, I'm counting down the number of dialysis treatments that I need. But still, there's a part of me that doesn't think it's so good because of my concern for my son. When we were at Mayo Clinic in April for Luke to get tested, I needed to receive dialysis the one day, and God brought a special technician into my life that day. It was a God moment. Her name was Amaya. Sweet black lady that was taking care of me. And in talking with her, it became apparent that she might be a Christian. So I asked her, I said, are you a believer in the Lord Jesus? She answered that she was. And you know, when God orchestrates what is unscheduled meetings, at least to us, of believers, that's exciting to me. And he orchestrated this one. And so I was sharing with her how I struggle with taking a kidney from one of my children. And here's what she told me. She said, be grateful and accept the gift. Now, I had heard similar thoughts before. I've heard that along that line. But God wanted me to hear it from her that day. And it stuck with me. And I'm trying to do what she said. But I also got to thinking that it's a good way to live life in general. Be grateful. And each day, be grateful and accept the gifts. So that's the title of the message. Thank you, Amaya. You gave me a title. Be grateful and accept the gifts. So first of all, I'd like to consider the thought of being grateful. You say, well, it's not Thanksgiving time. Well, it doesn't matter, does it? I would venture to say that all of us could be more grateful at times than what we are. And I'm saying us, including me. And I'm wondering if we don't think as seriously as we should about it. One of the sins of the unrighteous in Romans 1 is that they failed to give thanks to God. Verse 21 of that chapter says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. There are numerous scriptures that command us or speak of giving thanks to God. And I'm going to share a good many this morning just to show the importance of this thought of being grateful. Colossians 3:17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. We wonder sometimes, well, what's God's will for my life? Well, here's part of it, specifically laid out, plain and simple, in black and white in Scripture. Be thankful in everything, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Somehow, in everything in our lives, we are to still be thankful. Hebrews 13:15, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. There's to be an ongoing spirit of thankfulness to God that shows with our speech. Our lips are to be giving thanks. Psalm 136:1, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Why? For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Psalm 118:29, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. He is incredibly good. Do you believe that this morning? He is good. That was weak. There should have been everybody in this audience saying amen. He is good. He is. Psalm 119:62, at midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. If you wake up in the middle of the night, you know what you can do, and you probably should do, or myself included, because I wake up. And that's give thanks to God for something that he's done for you. And you know, if you start doing that and keep doing it, you might get sleepy and go back to sleep. I don't think Satan likes that. But we have so much that we can be thankful for, we can just keep going. It's going to play us out, make us tired. Psalm 107:1, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, again, for he is good. Psalm 105:1, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Share what he's doing for you, giving thanks to him. Psalm 106:1, praise ye the Lord, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, again, for his mercy endureth forever. Psalm 92:1, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Psalm 30, verse 12, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee, and not be silent, O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee today forever. Forever. In Psalm 140, verse 13, surely the righteous shall give thanks unto thy name. If you claim to be righteous through the blood of Christ, you and I need to be giving thanks to the name of the Lord Jesus. Surely the righteous shall give thanks unto thy name. The upright shall dwell in thy presence. It seems really important. I shared all these scriptures for a reason. It seems to me that it's really important for us to do this, isn't it? Yet, you know, I've never heard someone say, so-and-so is going down a bad road because he's not very thankful. I've never heard anyone say that, I don't think. And yet it's so important that we give thanks. You know, because it's an evidence. It's an evidence of a believer's life. When we are thankful. You know, we're not deserving of any of the blessings that we receive from God. You know, sometimes we get this complex thinking that we deserve things. We're not deserving of any of the blessings we receive from Him. He daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Psalm 68:19. He daily loadeth us. Psalm 103, verse 2 there that was read, says, forget not all of His benefits. I wonder, how can we not be grateful? How can you as a believer and me as a believer not be grateful? Our testimony should be like this. The songwriter said it this way. Thank you, Lord, for the strength you give to carry on through life's toils and tests and the worst and the best. I'm not ever left alone. You were always right beside me. You hear me every time I pray. And since I first began, you've been my dearest friend. And I give you all the praise. I want to say thanks. Thanks, Lord. I give you thanks for all you've done. I am so blessed. My soul has found rest. Oh, Lord, I give you thanks. I thank you this moment. I will continually. Each day I live, the praise you gave, I'm blessed abundantly. Amen. I am blessed abundantly. I can't forget that moment in my life. You made such a change. Since the Spirit came, I'm not the same. And I want to give you the praise. I just want to say thanks. Thanks, Lord. I give you thanks for all you've done. I am so blessed. My soul has found rest. Oh, Lord, I give you thanks. Be grateful. Be grateful. Well, then secondly, we need to live accepting the gifts. I make that plural because I don't even know if we could name them all. I don't think so. It would continue on. But this morning we want to consider some of the gifts, good gifts from our Heavenly Father. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow turning. All the good gifts that we receive, any good gift that you receive, it's from our Heavenly Father. So let's first of all consider the gift of physical life. This is a gift that we should never take for granted. Each day is a blessing to be alive. That's why when you have a chance and you can see a sunrise, or you can enjoy the beauty of the sky, or you can enjoy a sunset, you need to do that and thank the Lord, because each day is a gift of physical life that we receive. We shouldn't take it for granted. It's a blessing to be alive. And life itself is something to be treasured. Psalm 139, verse 14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. If I am wonderfully and fearfully made, that means that it's something special about each of you and myself, and life is to be treasured. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Genesis 2:7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Life originated from God. It didn't just explode. It originated from God breathing into man and forming him. This itself places value on every life. Romans 12, 1-2, and you know these verses well. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, that's our living bodies, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Our physical existence is to be used as a gift to God for him to use. Again, placing value on that life, on physical life. Every day that God gives us physical life is a gift. This morning, fathers, are you accepting the gift of the lives of your children? They're precious. Those lives are precious. Along with the gift of physical life is another gift that we receive, and that being the gift of time. We all receive the same amount of time in a day. How we use it is our choice. We only get so much of time. If we live to the age of 80 years old, we'll have about 700,800 hours to use. I don't know if I'm going to make 80, but that's not many more left if I were. But time is one of the most valuable things that we have in life, right? Time is one of the most valuable things we have in life. It's rare because once it's gone, it can't be gotten back. Benjamin Franklin said, "Lost time is never found again." Unquote. Simple but very profound. It can't be relived or repeated. We are to recognize the value of time. Psalm 90, verse 12, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts on the wisdom. Because time is so valuable, we are to use it carefully. Ephesians 5:16 says, redeeming or making the best of the time, because the days are evil. Time is such a precious gift. Each of us is allotted so much by God. David said in Psalm 31:15, my times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies, and so on. But my times are in your hand. Your times are in God's hand. I like what Bill Keane said. He said this, and I quote, "Yes." Now listen closely to this. Yesterday's the past, tomorrow's the future, but today is a gift. That's why it's called the present. Did you get that? I thought that was pretty good. Today is a gift. That's why it's called the present. He's right. Time is a gift that we're given. Psalm 103, the verses that were read, verse 15 and 16. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth, for the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. In other words, our times are short. So time is valuable. Fathers, our children need our time. It's not so much quality. You know, when we were parenting, when the children were small, you heard a lot about quality time. You need quality time. There may be value. I'm sure there's value to that, but children just need our time, period. They just need us to be with them. It might not be quality in my eyes, because it might be just being there with them, but they need it. There has to be more time in our life. It has to be more. There has to be time for more than just work or hobbies. All that has its place, but there has to be time for more than that. Our children are aching for our time. The third gift that is available to all of us is the gift of spiritual life. We said physical life, time is a gift. Well, spiritual life is a gift as well. It's a gift that has to be received in order to get to the place we want to go, heaven. You know, I think people live, and there's people in the world that think that everybody's just going to end up going to heaven. It's going to be a good, great place. Well, it's going to be a great place, but I'll tell you what, you need to make a reservation now. And the way to do that is to accept the gift. We can't purchase it. It's a gift. Somebody wants to give you a gift. You say, well, here, how much did it cost? I want to pay for that. How does that make them feel? The gift, spiritual life is a gift, can't be purchased. It's a gift to us from our Heavenly Father. When Simon in Acts 8 wanted to buy what Peter and John had, Peter said to him in verse 20, thy money perish with thee because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Can't be. Ephesians 2:8 makes it very clear, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Romans 5:15-18. I want you to notice all the times a gift is mentioned there. 5-18, Romans 5. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, many sin, the dead were dead because of sin, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Now here we are, that's one verse, there were two gifts. Listen to, as we continue. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses on the justification. Two more times. Verse 17, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness. You know, I can't work enough to gain righteousness. It's a gift that I have to receive. The gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense, verse 18, we got one more. As by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, praise him, the free gift came upon all men on the justification of life. Six times it's mentioned about the gift. John 4:10, Jesus answered, said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. That's a gift. Spiritual life is a gift from God. Why not receive it? Why not receive the gift? He wants to give it. Fathers, the greatest gift that we can lead our children to is spiritual life. It's really not going to matter if we leave them $100,000 or whatever when we pass. What does matter is if we lead them to spiritual life. Is that a priority? Along with this gift of spiritual life is number four, the gift of forgiveness. Verses 10 and 12 are so, oh my, just incredible of Psalm 103. It says, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. You know, if he did, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be here this morning. If he dealt with us according, if he dealt with me, be obliterated. There'd be no Dwayne Schilt. But he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. And verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. He hasn't only not dealt with us, he's taken the sins away, and he's put them so far away as the east is from the west, you can't even comprehend how far that is because it can't be measured. And that's where he put our sins. Forgiveness is a gift. It's through grace. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. We've seen that gift in the words, verses that I read in Romans. The gift of forgiveness is through his grace, unmerited favor. So if it's unmerited favor, that means it's a gift. The privilege of being forgiven our sins is a gift from God. 1 John 1:9, you know that verse, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from most of our unrighteousness. Is that what it says? Are you awake? It says to cleanse us from all, doesn't it? And as somebody said recently, I've heard this and repeated it, all means all, and that's all there is to it. He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. You kidding me? Confession and repentance are necessary, yes. But the truth is that God's forgiveness is still a gift. Still a gift. One to be treasured above any other. In receiving this gift of forgiveness from God, we have more of a reason to give the gift of forgiveness to others. Fathers, Brother Ray mentioned this, we have to model and show forgiveness to our children. That means asking them to forgive. That means showing them that we forgive them. Showing them that we forgive their mother. Because you know how it is in relationships. We all have to deal with that. And showing them that we forgive others. Because if we lack forgiveness, as Brother Ray said, it's going to carry over to our children. So important. Yet sometimes we struggle, don't we, with this idea of forgiveness of others. C.S. Lewis said, everyone says forgiveness is a lovely idea until they have something to forgive. I think that's true. Yet we are enabled, especially through God's forgiveness, to offer an incredible gift to someone else, the one of forgiveness. Mark Strand tells of an experience that occurred following his first year of college. His dad and mom had left for vacation, and Mark wrecked their pickup truck, crumpling the passenger side door. Returning home, he parked the truck. When his dad returned home and saw the damage, Mark acted surprised and denied any knowledge of the accident. Mr. Strand then asked the hired man about it, and to Mark's delight, the man admitted he was responsible. He had heard a loud noise while passing the truck with the wings of the cultivator up, and now he assumed he had caused the damage. It seemed like Mark was off the hook, didn't it? But the weeks that followed were torturous. As Mark struggled with his guilty conscience, he repeatedly considered telling the truth but was afraid. Finally, one day, he impulsively blurted it out. Dad, there's something I need to tell you. Yes, his dad replied. You know that pickup door? I was the one who did it. Dad looked at me, he says, him writing this, I looked back at him. For the first time in weeks, I was able to look him in the eyes. To my utter disbelief, Dad calmly replied, I know. Silent seconds, which seemed like hours, passed. Then Dad said, let's go eat. That's always a good healer. Let's go eat. He put his arm around my shoulder and we walked to the house, not saying another word about it. Not then, not ever. That is a gift of forgiveness. You know, F.W. Borum said this, I quote, it's a great thing to be a really good forgiver. Yes, indeed. Boy, I need to work on that more. Then sometimes in our lives we have past sins that we find it hard to forgive ourselves for committing them. One person wrote this, and it's so true. Every step I take forward, the past times tries to follow, reminding me of what I've been, mistakes and transgressions, those unlearned lessons I've gone through time and again. I know God can't recall what is cast in the sea. That's easy for him and so hard for me. You know, that's true, isn't it? But the gift of God's forgiveness removes the guilt and it enables us to forgive ourselves. Isn't that incredible? We can be free from the burden of unforgiveness of ourselves when we receive this marvelous gift of God. His forgiveness. What a gift it is. Fifthly, we have been given the gift of God's love. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 1 John 4:16, we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Romans 8:38-39, these are incredible verses. Listen to what it says. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers of things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us. All of that can't separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Truly a gift from God that we have constantly in our lives is that of his love. And Psalm 103, it uses words like loving kindness in verse 2, crowneth thee with loving kindness. And then it says in verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. The word for loving kindness and mercy in the Hebrew is the same word. And it means this idea of kindness and loving and mercy, and it wraps it all up. And you know, the ESV uses the word steadfast love. Every time it says steadfast love. I like that, because that's what it is. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in steadfast love, ongoing. Verse 11, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy, or his steadfast love toward them that fear him. There's a key. We need to be fearing him. Verse 18 talks about obeying him. His steadfast love, so great is it. Fearing the Lord. What does fearing the Lord mean? It means going to giving him praise and that being grateful and honoring him and obeying him. Verse 17, but the mercy or the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness on the children. Then verse 18 talks about keeping his covenant and obeying him. Psalm 52, verse 1, O mighty man, the goodness of God endureth continually. You know what? Word goodness there is the same Hebrew word that was loving kindness and mercy in Psalm 103. And again, it's translated his steadfast love. The steadfast love of God endures all the day. You know, the gift of God's love in our lives is living under the influence. Steadfast love entails all the what the meaning of that word is. His mercy, his goodness, his loving kindness. And so steadfast love involves our living under the influence of his goodness, his mercy, and loving kindness. It's an amazing blessing. And fathers, it's amazing to be under God's love. Are we extending that love to our family, to our children, our wife? Are our children living under our love for them, a love full of goodness, loving kindness, and mercy, a steadfast love? There's much that we can give our children. We can give them a lot, but nothing can take the place of true, unconditional love like that of our Heavenly Father's. The gift of God's love doesn't always feel good. Hebrews 12:6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. But it's a blessing to us in that way as well, isn't it? That's even a blessing. The clock went too fast this morning. I'm done soon. Hang in there, okay? In life, we also give one more gift that I want to consider this morning. We've had the gift of physical life, the gift of time, the gift of spiritual life, the gift of forgiveness, the gift of God's love, and number six, the gift of relationships. Ephesians 5 and 6, Colossians 3 and 4, they speak of how good relationships in the home and workplace function. And what a blessing that the gift of those relationships are. Yet so many times, those relationships are thrown aside due to selfishness or unforgiveness and pride. Fathers, do we treasure the gifts of our relationships with our wife and our children? They are treasures. Are we too busy? Are we saying relationships are important, but then sending a different message to our loved ones? It's not just about making an income for them or doing this or that. Sometimes it seems that becomes our focus too much and the relationships suffer. Our wife and children will know what's really important to us. I guarantee you they'll know it. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 to 12 speaks of a blessing. Relationships, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? If one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a three-cord cord is not quickly broken. It speaks of the blessing of a good and proper relationship. Proverbs 17, 17, a friend loveth at all times, and brothers born for adversity. The blessing of a true friend, relationship, and a true and a brother. Proverbs 27, 17, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Again, the blessing of that relationship. Galatians 6, 2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's speaking of a relationship where we're helping one another and bearing the burdens. You're doing it for us. The value of the gift of relationships. The philosopher William James said this, and I quote, the great use of life, listen, the great use of life is to spend it for something that will outlast it. Relationships are one of those things that can outlast our lives. Words, somebody wrote these words, there's a listen to this because this is so true, and boy, it seems like it's coming fast for me. There's a face in a picture frame that I walk by every day. Brings back memories. Of all the moments, all the years, it's almost like they're still here. Oh, what a legacy. And it hits me, even though they're gone, ain't it something how some folks can live long. If you want to leave a mark, no matter who you are, it starts with the heart. It's the love that you give, the time that you spend. Yeah, it all plays a part. It's the joy and the laughter and your faith. That's what matters. Yeah, well, that's what you leave behind. That's how you outlive your life. So here's my chance to make it count, to live a life worth passing down and give what they gave me. Because there's going to come a day when I'm the face in the picture frame. And what's the story going to be? The gifts of physical life, time, spiritual life, forgiveness, God's love, and relationships. Six incredible gifts that God has given us. These are just some of the gifts we receive. Think of others if you can. And be thankful. Be grateful. As Amaya said, be grateful and accept the gift.
We want to thank Brother Dwayne for the message this morning. So the question in my mind now is, how do we honor our father and our mother? By accepting the gift, right? We not only honor our father and mother, but we show honor and respect to our family members, our children, our church brothers and sisters as well. Accept the gift. The greatest way I believe we can honor our mothers and our fathers is by honoring our Heavenly Father and living a life for Him and bringing glory to His name. Let's stand for prayer.